Hey, Linda. Linda, there's seats right, up here. They're scared. They don't want to sit in the splash zone. That's what's going on there. They've seen me preach before. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm glad we can have fun. Amen. I'm glad we can have fun in church. Casey's buddy Gary is here, so he's got to get back there and sit with him. That's, I love it. I think it's awesome. So, two real special people besides my wife and daughter and grandchildren are here with us tonight. The reason that I'm actually even, saved, let alone in ministry, is this guy right here, Mike Young. Him and his wife are, well, all of their belongings basically are in my garage right now. They're moving here sometime this summer. There's some things that they're taking care of and going to do some traveling and see their kids and so forth. But somewhere July to August, they're going to be here with us full time and be a great blessing to the church and to me and to Tammy and to each one of you. I promise. I guarantee it. This gentleman sitting here in the beautiful white hair is it's platinum. Oh, it's platinum. This guy is I don't even know how to say it. He's a warrior for the kingdom. That guy is a warrior, isn't he, Mike? There's nothing he won't do. In fact, he's already asked me, what can we go and do down at the church to help clean up and do stuff? He's only been here for a day, really, and is already wanting to be doing something because that's his nature, and that's what God has gifted him. David has been, you've been an officer, haven't you, in the Salvation Army for years and years and years and years, has preached the gospel, has been a outspoken mouthpiece, I guess, for the Lord, and you'll never meet a sweeter guy than that one right there, and I'm honored tonight to be able to say that he's my brother, and I'm honored that he's here tonight to be with us in the church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. David Greenwood. So again, because we stop in some of the craziest places in this Bible study, and so I might have just messed up. Is it still working all right? All right. And so I always want to just back up and catch ourselves back up, and then I very rarely get very far at all, but it's all right because it's God's Word and we can't hear the teaching and the instruction of God's Word too much. Amen? I mean, it's just what we have to have. We got to hear it and we've got to be able to receive it, and we got to let God's Word get down inside of us and change us from who we are right now to who God wants us to be. And so my prayer is that nobody leaves this place. I don't care if you've been in the church for your whole life. You can memorize the Bible and all the verses. I pray that somehow, some way tonight, before you leave these doors in this building, that God will have drawn you closer to Himself, has revealed something of His Word to your life, that you'll be changed, that forever you'll recognize that God is doing something in your life. And it all comes back to this idea of worship, and one crucial way that we talked about and are continuing to talk about to praise God is by singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. And the Old Testament abounds with exhortations to sing unto the Lord. Well, I can't sing. Well, He don't care. He doesn't care. You know how I know He doesn't care? Because He said for us to make a joyful noise. Amen? Amen. Because it's not about really what's coming out of your mouth. It's what's really coming out of your heart. That's what God's looking at. That's what where worship starts. For example, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse 23, it says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Listen, would you stand with me tonight as we read Psalm 95 verses 1 through 6, just in honor of the Lord? Did I miss something?
No.
All right, good. I'd hate to miss something. Amen. We'll wait for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. No problem. We're waiting on Dennis.
Good.
Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him in psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Father, I pray You add Your blessing to the reading of Your Word. Lord, impart it to us tonight, God, that we'll be changed simply by hearing Your Word, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So songs and shouts and gratitude and praise erupted from those that were gathered to worship the Lord. It was something of a spontaneous event that would take place. And when the Holy Ghost just wells up inside of you, don't try and contain it. Let it go. Let expressions of praise and worship just flow out of your mouth. You want to know how to drive the devil nuts? Hum. Just hum. Get a song in your mind and just start humming it. It'll work. Yeah. Ron, you're looking at me like you don't believe me. I'm telling you. Listen, while there are many, many examples of stillness and silence in the presence of God that is taught and illustrated in Scripture, there are equally as many examples of boisterous worship.
Amen?
Amen? Listen, when somebody says praise the Lord, or when, you know, when Linda encourages me when I'm preaching, let's just say it that way. Let's just when Kathy or even you, Jim, I had to think for just a minute. Ray, Jim, I don't. Here's the thing: I rename everybody. I'm like the Lord. I just rename you. If I don't like what you got, I'll just give you a new. At any rate, you love me? Good. All right. I'm going to give you a name tag, all right? Took me 3 years to figure out his name wasn't Mike. I give him a brand new Bible and signed it, Dear Mike. And his name's Dennis. Hallelujah. It's great. Oh. Listen, that when the Holy Spirit begins to just well up in us, we'd be far better off to let that expression come out.
Amen.
Rather than to stifle the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, no, I can't do that. I'm too timid to allow the Lord to speak out through us. Amen. I shared this last week, but I think it bears repeating today. And it's a story that Jimmy Swaggart tells of a woman that came to one of the a church service, not one of his, but a church service, and at the end of the service walked up to the preacher and announced how disappointed she was with the service. I'm disappointed with the service tonight, preacher. And so he said, well, what are you disappointed about? She said, well, I watched all you people raising your hands and clapping your hands, and some of you were even dancing, and there were those that were shouting. She went on to say, Jesus didn't do any of that. Isn't that right? And if He didn't do it, why do you do it? Preacher said, sister, you're right. Jesus didn't clap his hands. He didn't jump up and down. He didn't shout. He didn't dance. But everybody he touched did.
Amen.
Everybody he touched did. Amen. Listen, both peaceful silence and enthusiastic praise are appropriate expressions of worship to our great God. Listen, there ain't nothing you can do that will suffice what is due our Lord.
Amen.
Not one thing. David tells us how we should praise Him and why we should praise Him. This is communal or a public praise. It's not individual, although both are important. Our praise should be joyful and enthusiastic. Listen, if you're having a bad day, start praising the Lord. Start praising the Lord. Well, how are you doing today? Well, you know, under the circumstances, not bad.
I do it all the time.
Well, let me ask you something. What are you doing under the circumstances? Because God's Word says we're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And when we begin to worship and we begin to praise the Lord and we begin to lift our voice, even in the midst of gloom and doom all around us, all of a sudden, the sky spiritually begins to part, and the light of the sun begins to shine down. And who can really be too upset on a nice sunshiny day? Our praise ought to be joyful and enthusiastic. Even commands us to shout and wholly be focused on the Lord. The verb "come" means to go meet God face to face in His presence. And believers today ought to do this through, or can do this through Christ. Hebrews 4:16, I shared it last week. We therefore come boldly into the throne room of God. We don't have to mealy mouse around, wondering if God, you know, is God going to kick me out? No, He's not. He said we can come. Let our troubles be known to Him. He cares about us. He's concerned for us. We ought to be thankful in our praise as we praise the Lord for His great mercies. Aren't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Amen. It's like, wake up, got a do-over. Let me do better today than I did yesterday. And so while Psalms 95 calls on Israel to worship, Psalm 96 calls all the nations of the earth to worship the God of Israel. Isn't that amazing? 95 is calling the church, the children of Israel to worship. Psalm 96 is calling the entire world into it. So again, it's just another form of establishment that us Gentiles are part of the family, right? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. He says, well, this is Old Testament proof that God's got a plan even for us Gentiles. Amen? That ought to make somebody want to shout, I would think. So why should we praise Him? Well, because He's great and He's above the false gods of this world. There's no other God besides Him. Amen? After His ascension to heaven, Jesus was enthroned far above all, and nothing can separate us from His love. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. All the way back to verse 37. Let me take you there. Yet in all these things, in how many? Even those things that are driving you crazy. Even those things that are causing you to be bummed out and depressed and discouraged and all those kinds of things. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded. How many of you are persuaded? See, I think there's still some folks on the fence. And if we're on the fence, we're not persuaded. Amen? You can't ride the fence and declare that you've been persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I'll guarantee you one thing. I've done enough stupid stuff to know that if God still loves me in spite of all the stupid things that I've done, I'm pretty well persuaded, pal. Amen. I'm pretty well persuaded that if He can save me, if He can use me in ministry, after all the failures that I've had in my life, after every time that I've completely blown it and in effect spit in the face of God, literally, I mean, I'm persuaded that if what I've done so far in my life has not disqualified me for heaven, then there is hope for everybody, folks.
Amen.
I'm persuaded of it. I'm not wondering anymore. I'm persuaded. In other words, I'm convinced. Pastor Dell, I got no so salvation. I know that I know that I know that I know. He's our great God and Savior, and we ought to delight in praising Him. It ought to not be something that is drudgery to us. The fact that He has given us the opportunity to come together and worship and praise Him and lift our hands and clap and sing and all those kinds of things, it ought to make us pretty happy. We ought to delight in praising Him. Our God is also the Creator of the universe, and He controls all things, according to verse 4 and 5. The depths of the sea and the earth and the heights of the mountains, it all belongs to Him. Every bit of it belongs to Him. And He knows what's going on in the water as well as on the earth. Ron, wouldn't you just like to know where the fish are at when we're fishing? Wouldn't you like to just know they're right here?
I do. They're in the water, if that's any help.
Just shut the camera off, Steve. Just... I'm going to tell a deer hunting story on you now if you don't straighten up. All right. When I go deer hunting, I would like to know exactly where the deer are at. But then it wouldn't be hunting, would it?
No.
It would just be killing.
Yeah, they're in the hills.
Good grief. Woo! He sure can. He understands all of it. He knows all of it. The depths of the sea and of the earth, the heights of the mountain, they all belong to Him. He knows what's going on in your life, by the way. Hello? He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going to be going on tomorrow.
24/7.
365. He knows what's going on in the water as well as on the earth. Listen to this. The pagan nations had gods and goddesses from different parts of creation. The seas, the land, the mountain peaks, the sun, the moon, the stars, the storms, the crops. The problem is, our God is God over all of them. Amen? It ain't no wonder that we ought to praise Him. Their gods are their idols. An idol can do nothing for you. An idol's dead. Our God is alive and well. Amen? He is alive and well. Listen, I could get carried away right here. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
Amen.
See, the primary mission of the church as defined by Christ. And remember, our job, our objective, our goal in going through this study on worship, on the teaching that we've been going through on Wednesday night is that I believe with my heart, I believe that God is saying, church, it's time that we are reestablished under the precept of the New Testament church.
Amen.
The church has become culturized by the culture, and we followed all these rabbit trails, and look at the church now. It's divided, it's messed up. We don't know what in the world we believe in, and that's why I believe God is at least leading this house back to the place where we establish ourselves as a New Testament church. With the gifts of the Spirit being manifest in this place. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we had 4 people baptized in the Holy Ghost right here on a Wednesday night service. It was fantastic. It's just the start of what I believe God is doing to reignite what He had established through the apostles in the New Testament church. And folks, that's what we're doing. Christ has made this definition, and that is that we are to bear witness about Him in every corner of the earth. Everywhere you and I go, we ought to be teaching and sharing about the love of Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. That's our job. Christ has commanded us as His followers to proclaim the gospel to every person. And I like to say, and if we have to, use words. There ought to be some level flow from inside of each one of us that is referred to as lifestyle evangelism. And what I mean by that is somebody ought to be able to look at our life and recognize that there's something different about us, that there's got to be something going on. It amazes me, and I love it when someone from our school comes in or finds out that I'm a pastor now. Because it just messes them up. Are we talking about that guy? Yeah, that one. And we don't want Judy to get up and start telling stories because she's known me since diapers. Amen? And so her stories are disqualified right off the bat. We're not giving her the platform for sure. Amen. But listen, our life. Listen, people can look at my life and recognize that have known me, there's something has happened. There's come a change in my life. And let me tell you something, it did not change overnight. And in fact, let me tell you this, the change is still taking place. The change is a day-by-day thing. It's a day-by-day walk. God, today, I want to be closer to You than I was yesterday. God, how would You have me serve You today? What can I do today? How can I be a better follower of You? How can I be a better minister for You today? What can You use in my life to proclaim the gospel with me never saying a word? Because how many of us in this place right now are afraid to talk to people about Jesus? Don't be afraid to raise your hand because God already knows the answer, so don't be lying to Him. How many of us, it freaks us out to share with somebody the gospel? See? But your life can speak. We don't have to say a word. Our life can speak about God. How come you're so stinking happy? Why are you smiling all the time, Sharon? Why are you? Because I love Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Woo! Isn't that right?
Yes.
There's no hiding it. You.
Sunshine.
Huh?
Sunshine.
I'm telling you, what is going on in you? Oh man, let me tell you what's going on in me. Let me tell you. Really? I'm gonna send somebody out. I'm gonna send somebody.
That's why I wear the frog shirts.
What?
That's why I wear shirts that have frogs on them. Because a lot of people like frogs. Oh, I like your frog shirt. I said, let me tell you about frogs. You know, frogs stand for fully rely on God.
Oh, for crying out loud. Judy, that's good.
Yeah,
Say, what did you just say? I'm a frog. I'm a bullfrog. Amen. I'm a bullfrog. I'm a fully relying on God. That's good. We need to put that up somewhere. Frog. And a picture of Kermit or something up there. I don't know. I've never heard of such a thing. Well, that's what I'm talking about, though, church. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's those little things like that God puts in our spirit that allows people to come up and say, because a frog is pretty non-threatening. Right? I really like your frog shirt. Oh, really? Let me tell you about my frogs. That is amazing. I love it. The church's great commission is to make disciples or followers. And I really don't even know why I allowed followers to be in here, because he didn't command us to go and make followers. He commanded us to go out and make disciples.
Amen.
Anybody can follow somebody around. Anybody can follow somebody around. You take a bag of rock salt and throw it in an old cow's nose, and she'll follow you anywhere.
Really?
Huh? Really? It's true. Isn't it true, Gary? You throw a little salt in the cow's nose, they love it. They absolutely love it. They'll follow you everywhere. Yeah, it's true. I'm telling you that anybody can be a follower, but it takes somebody that has some grit, somebody that has some determination, somebody that has the desire to say, God, I'm putting me beside. I want to be like you. I want to be discipled. Disciples. The Great Commission is to make disciples of Christ who will in turn reach out to others and make disciples of them as well. I'm not going to go into it tonight because I've done it week after week, it seems like, talking about how Mike can disciple me, and then he disciples Dave, and I disciple Dennis, and it begins to exponentially grow right away, and then pretty quick you've got a great vast number, and so you understand what that looks like. An iron sharpens iron, for sure. Well, thank you. But through this method of multiplication called discipling, again, let me go back to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached to the multitudes that day, and 3,000 people give their life to the Lord and got saved that day, the church was being added to. The Bible says that they met daily. They broke bread daily. They got together daily and they worshiped the Lord daily. And the church was added to daily. And then in chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible goes, and the vernacular again changes. And it goes from the church was added to the church began to multiply. And the church began to multiply because disciples had been made. And disciples were discipling other disciples. And it began to just explode. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the numbers and the way that in just a very, very short time, if people would do it, we could reach every person in the city of Myrtle Creek with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a flash. And there wouldn't be churches enough to hold them. Hallelujah. Our new church, with all the seating that it's going to have, would not be able to hold them. He's called us to make disciples. And again, through this method of multiplication, the gospel will be preached to all the earth. That's His plan, folks.
Amen.
I got news for you. Jesus Christ did not just die for the United States of America. He did not. He died for Africa, Ethiopia. He died for Russia, Ukraine, the England and Great Britain and Germany and all. He died for the whole world. You know how I know that? Because John 3:16 said so. For God so loved the world. that whosoever, I'm whosoever, folks. If you can't remember my name, I'm whosoever. Amen. It's coming, church. As you begin to take what you're hearing and what you're learning and what you're being taught on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Thursday morning in the women's and Friday night with the men. Listen, it's not because we don't have stuff to do. Right? There's all kinds of stuff I can find to do. But our primary purpose is to make disciples, is to grow the church. And the church, the gospel will be preached in all the earth. But sadly, too many churches have lost sight. And this is what I was saying earlier. They've lost sight of their true calling.
Amen.
The church, by and large, has lost sight of the true calling. And that is to make disciples and participate in evangelizing the world. Listen, if we're just getting together because it's Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and having a cute little worship service, a little song service, where, by the way, more often than not, it becomes a form of entertainment and we're sitting at a concert before somebody gets up and lectures us on the Word of God. That was a good place for an amen, just
amen.
In case you wanted to know. The church has one mission. One mission. I'll argue with you till the cows come home. It doesn't make any difference because the church has one mission. Go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what God said. That's the Great Commission. He didn't say go out and make theologians and all this kind of stuff. It's important and it's good to know what God's Word is saying. I'm not discrediting that at all. But our primary objective is to evangelize the entire world. Because here's the deal. If people don't get evangelized, they are going to hell. And God has put this crew together to reach our corner of the world. Psalm 96 calls God's people to the task of bearing witness to all people and nations of the earth. It's a song about global worship, a compilation of previous psalms, and it's prophetic in nature. It's prophetic in nature. It's pointing to the day when Christ returns and reigns over all the earth. Listen, I don't know if you watch much what's going on around this place, but it's getting closer all the time. It's getting closer all the time. You better have your bags packed and be ready to go, because when the bell rings, we're out of here. Amen? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Global worship, it's prophetic. And it's no coincidence that Psalm 96, how many of you know this? This is very interesting. Psalms 96 verse 11 is the exact center of the Bible. Psalm 96 and verse 11 is the exact center of the Bible. And I want to tell you what it says. Don't get in a hurry. Listen to what Psalm 96:11 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and all its fullness." Amen?
Amen.
Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. I'm glad. I'm glad that I know where I'm going.
Amen.
I know that if the eastern sky should part and the trumpet of the Lord should ring out through the valleys, that Jesus would come down and descend on a cloud, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we would be that are left behind, that are still alive on the earth, would be caught up. He's not coming to the earth. We're going to be caught up to be with Him in the clouds, and we're going to be changed. Bam! In the twinkling. I don't know about the rest of you, but I can get happy about that. Amen?
Amen.
I can get happy about that, Mary.
You have hair again.
I don't think so. I'm telling you, God didn't put marble tops on cheap furniture. I'm just saying. don't encourage him. Oh my goodness. Listen. The very heart of God's word points to the day when all creation rejoices in the lordship of Jesus. Let me break this to you, and I'm getting ready to close here. Scripture declares that on that day, every created being in every dimension of the universe will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody, saved, unsaved, the devil, demons, people in hell, everybody is going to declare on that day that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even those in hell will acknowledge Jesus. They will acknowledge God's sinless, crucified, and risen Son as Lord of all. It'll be too late for them. Let me just tell you this. There ain't a person in hell right now that wouldn't tell you to repent. There ain't a person in hell that wouldn't love a do-over. But once you're dead, the deal's done. The deal's done. See, the psalmist invites the earth to bless his name. God's very name is the representation of all that he is. He is creator. Or rather, his character, his nature, his attributes, and his acts. Specifically, he is called on the earth to praise the name of the Lord Yahweh or Jehovah. This is God's personal name by which he revealed himself to his people and made covenant with them. And it's clear that the invitation was to acknowledge the Lord, the God of Israel, the God as God, and come into relationship with him. That's what he's looking for, folks. He's looking for a relationship. He's not looking for religious. He doesn't care about religion at all. Jesus Christ never came to reestablish a religion. He came to restore and repair a broken relationship between sinful man and a holy and a righteous God.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is all about. The Lord's wondrous works establish His greatness over all other gods. And because the Lord is so great, He is worthy of all praise. He is absolutely worthy of all praise. And declaring that He is greatly to be praised means that He deserves the highest and the most exalted praise. Amen? Hey, would you just come and do that last song that we was doing as we close? I want to invite you to, whether you can sing this song or not, doesn't matter. But I want for us to declare some things tonight and to worship the Lord and to pray and to seek His face. I'm actually done like 5 minutes too soon, if you will, but I want us to sing this and sing it from our heart, not from our lips, from our heart. Amen? Come on. You can stand up. You can come and bow at this altar. You can sit in your chair. I don't care. But God wants to hear your heart tonight, folks.
When I look into your holiness.
Will you turn her mic on, please? Thank you.
When I gaze into your loveliness. When all things that surround me become shadows in light of you.
Sing that again.
When I when I gaze into your loveliness.
is to praise You, to worship You, and to glorify You, God. Lord, that we would let our light so shine among men that people would see our good works and glorify God. Lord, that they would come and ask us about our frogs, or God, that they would ask us why it is that we have such a smile. Don't we know what's going on in the world? Don't You understand that there's turmoil all across the nation? Don't You understand that the gas is $7 a gallon? Don't You understand that there's no formula in the stores? What I do understand is, God, that You're God of all. I understand that, God, You're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish one of these days. What I understand is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And Lord, I understand that You've created us to worship You. God, I understand that when all these things are happening, then the Lord will return. And God, I pray for people tonight, Lord, that are sick, that are not here. Lord, Gene, as he's recovering from surgery, I pray, God, that you would heal him, Lord God. That You'd bring healing into his body, into his hip, into his back. God, in Jesus' name, that for once in a long, long time, he could walk around pain-free and do the things that he knows you have called him to, Father. And I thank You for it, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for Janet tonight. Lord, that You would touch her, that You would heal her heart. God, that thing would begin to beat with a normal rhythm. That, God, that the blood pressure would level out and do where it's supposed to be, God. That her lungs would flow and open and work the way that You've created them to be. God, that she'd be able to be here and be a part of what You're doing again, God, and feel good in her body physically because You've touched her, Lord. Father, and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. God, I pray tonight, Lord, for Steve and for different ones, God, for Ron and Marion, and Lord, just different ones tonight, and Dennis and Judy and Mary, God, that need Your touch. I pray for Kathy, Lord, tonight. God, I pray that You completely heal her immune system. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, nothing is too good, nothing is too great, nothing is too hard for You, Lord, and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. God, there are others that I can't even think about here tonight, God, that need Your touch. Lord, they need Your healing touch, but You know who they are. God, You know everything about every one of us in this place, everybody watching by way of the internet. If you need a touch from God, I just want to encourage you to reach out and begin to worship Him, begin to thank Him for healing you and for touching your body. Begin to just thank Him. You might not even feel healed, but God's going to touch you. I believe it with all my heart. Lord, I pray that Your people would respond like the people that Jesus has touched, and that they would begin to rejoice and jump and shout and sing because of what God Almighty has done in their life. Father, and I thank You for it. Lord, I pray for Sharon, God, that You would touch her, that You would heal this sweet lady. God, in Jesus' name, all the prayer requests on our prayer chain, God, I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that You would heal them. Heal them, Lord, I pray. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, God, I pray for Thursday morning, God, for the women. I pray again for Friday, for the Bible study. Lord, I pray for the yard sale. God, be glorified. And Lord, let me just say this, God, more than selling stuff, I pray, God, that we would have an opportunity to minister and to witness to somebody of the goodness of God. And I thank You for it, Lord, and give You praise, honor, and glory for all these things tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for joining us tonight on the internet. I pray you were touched in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.